Well, welcome to a conversation with a person in Ireland who is going to stand for election in 2016, election to the National Parliament. And his name is Ken Curtin, and he's standing for a party called the Social Democrats. So, Ken Curtin, can I say, first of all, hello to you.
Hello, Paul. Good to see you again.
And what we're going to do, Ken, in the next no more than 20 minutes, right? No more than 20 minutes and maybe less, who knows. We're going to talk about current issues in Irish politics.
Sounds good to me.
And the reason we're going to talk about current issues in Irish politics is that there'll be people who will listen to this who won't understand the ins and outs of how Irish politics work. And there'll be people who listen to this from the UK and maybe people listen to it in America. But there'll also be people listening to us in Ireland. So just to bear in mind that, especially when you and I use language that other people wouldn't understand.
Appreciate that.
We'll take that in mind. Look, Ken, first of all, can I start with you about corruption in public life, right? We had a big exposure recently on television of three local councillors, and I forget where they're actually based, and what appeared on television, and who am I to judge whether it was set up or not set up, it appeared to be that three local councillors were demanding money in return for doing something in politics, lobbying to change planning laws or something like that. Now, first of all, is corruption endemic in Irish political life?
My simple answer to your question is no, it's not. I would say the vast majority of politicians of all parties are in it because they want to be in it, they want to do good, they want to represent the people that elected them. However, we have rotten eggs in politics in Ireland. And unfortunately, for several years, several of those rotten eggs, and not alone have they got away with it, but several of them have risen to positions of power as well. We've had a number of very highly costly tribunals in this country, like the Mahan Tribunal, like the Moriarty Tribunal, that highlighted an awful lot of these issues, made some strong recommendations how to address them, and in broader strokes, those recommendations were ignored, and very little was done. Now,
Just let me hold you there. Yeah. These tribunals, right? Can you just give us a brief summary of what on earth, how long did a tribunal take to carry on, and who was on the tribunal, and what powers did they have?
They actually used to have had very extensive powers. They were usually led by the likes of either a current or retired High Court judge, which would be our second highest court in the land here in Ireland. And they had fierce power, very strong powers of investigation. They could call witnesses, they could summons people, they could make findings of fact against individuals. But because obviously you're making between all the different people involved, there's a lot of legal stuff and everything else. They went on for years and years and years to a gigantic cost. And when I'm talking gigantic cost, I'm talking probably between the two tribunals I mentioned, you're talking well in excess of 100, knocking on 200 million. So huge money spent. Now, you would almost justify that expenditure if there was something positive came out of it.
But these tribunals produced recommendations that were designed to stop or prevent any form of corruption in public life.
Absolutely, to stop the same thing happening again. Now, you can't completely stop it, but put the maximum amount of barriers in place to make sure these things would be done. And in broad brush strokes, very little, if any, of the recommendations were followed through on.
Why?
Because if you think about it, the people that it didn't suit the cause of those involved in politics because they were appeasing to themselves. And I suppose bringing it right up to date, RTE, you need to be commended for the work they did. And like you mentioned three individuals in the opening paragraph, but what actually they did is they did a huge search of every elected rep in Ireland at local authority level and at national parliament level and had a look between what they actually declared interest in and what their actual record showed they had an interest in. And what they did was, at the end of that, they found there was a huge percentage, particularly at local authority level, had made no declaration at all.
And they were meant to make a declaration.
Absolutely. But then when they But even at a very simple thing then, they identified just under 50 public representatives, between about 40 at local authority level and about 78 at national level, that that they could prove without a shadow of a doubt, by comparing what they declared, what was on the land register, what was in court records and everything else, examples of directorships they held, or examples of assets they owned that they hadn't declared.
And was it an offence? Is it any kind of a criminal offence for somebody who's elected not to reveal business?
And this is one of the things that's been highlighted this week. If they put down something that was erroneous, right. Say, for example, they said they were a director of Red Apple Company and they're not a director of Red Apple Company, that's a crime. But it seems there was a huge gap in the legislation that not declaring, as in leaving it blank, so an omission wasn't a breach of the law. A wrong, putting something down that's incorrect was, but leaving it blank, even though that's completely incorrect, there is very little, if any, and part of that as well is the bodies meant to enforce this have absolutely no teeth or no legal power to investigate it. So, but even if they did, the legislation itself has a huge flaw.
Well, I heard on the radio during the week one of the, I suppose you'd say, one of the most respected journalists in Ireland, who I think writes for the Irish Times, Fintan O'Toole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Fintan O'Toole said that he had changed his mind. He used to think that that kind of a failure to draft the legislation properly was an accident, if you like, something that had been overlooked. Fintan O'Toole came out and said, if I heard him right, that he now thought it was deliberate, that there was a deliberate attempt not to prevent white collar crime.
I have to say, obviously, there's no proof to back up Fintan's theory, but there's a gigantic amount of anecdotal evidence that he's right. And they bring it right up to date, and we haven't really talked at all about the three individuals that were involved in the sting that are blatantly cut out as being engaging in what looks like corrupt practice and will probably be facing criminal charges for their activities. But totally outside of the three of them, the overall picture of everything, like my party, the Social Democrats, moved a motion this week. It's a coincidence. We had it down for this week anyway. These things are decided weeks and months in advance. But it happened to happen in the week where this primetime investigative programme was out. So our proposed legislation was taking on board all the recommendations of these tribunals, looking at best practices around the world where they've had issues of corruption and they've tried to stamp it out, put all that down into one recommendation that was supported by a broad brushstroke, and the government shot it down.
Well, the government always shoots down. I mean, small parties proposing a piece of legislation which the government regards as this is our job, the government comes up with, you know, things like this isn't the right time to do this, or else we're bringing out another bill in the future which will cover this. Isn't that, surely you didn't expect the government to,
I know, but like particularly whatever about Fine Gael, the lead party in government, their junior party partner Labour. In fairness to Labour, throughout all, like, there's plenty of other reasons you can give out about Labour, but in all the tribunals and everything that's come out, even up to and including this current list, it's very rare you hear of a Labour politician being named or involved in any kind of corrupt practice. Most of those heretofore have been involved in the two main parties in Ireland, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and even in the current debate, it's Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Independents. Labour aren't really coming into the mix. Whatever about Fine Gael opposing it, it was galling to see Labour deputies oppose it, because they've in the past would have stood side by side by anybody with those kind of proposals.
So the Social Democrats then, forget about whether they can get this through the Parliament or not, but the Social Democrats have done some kind of an analysis of what came up in the tribunals, and it's done various research about other countries and all that, and it's pulled all that together in order to be able to recommend a law. So look, that analysis by the Social Democrats, is that published on the Social Democrats website?
You can access it on the website. It was part of our pre-budget submission. Kind of at its core is the creation of a new agency, an anti-corruption agency, that would take on the likes of our standards in public office or lobbying legislation. A lot of the other bits and pieces that are out there and very disjointed at the moment, bring them all under one roof.
So do you favour then, just on this issue now, you're going up for election in Ireland, right, for a new party?
Absolutely.
Do you favour bringing in anti-corruption legislation?
Very much so.
Or this anti-corruption body, let's say?
Well, I very much do. And like some people would know, I used to be a student union officer in CIT, a college here in the early 90s.
Cork Institute of Technology.
Yeah, Cork Institute of Technology, And I actually have a copy of my manifesto for when I ran for vice president. And I had three words written on it at the time: openness, accountability and transparency. That was the policy I was running on in the mid-90s. My view in the mid-90s when I was running for the student union is exactly the same as my view now in the year 2015 when I'm running in a general election. I think we need openness, we need accountability and we need transparency. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so proud to be a member of the Social Democrats and a candidate for them, in that they are one party that is really making a name for themselves and standing out there against corruption and in favour of those kind of virtues.
I'm kind of wondering, Ken, I mean, that's very noble and I'm delighted to hear that you've got a long track record on these very noble virtues like transparency and what the other ones there that you mentioned. But who on earth in Ireland would be the czar responsible for stamping out corruption? Where on earth would Ireland find such a person?
To be honest, I would say it'd be very easy to find such a person. There are people both from the judiciary, people that work in law, people that work in journalism. Like, for example, I look at Emily O'Reilly. She was a superb ombudsman here. She's now a European ombudsman. People of her calibre, not to be talking anybody into the role, but somebody like Elaine Byrne, who has a proven track record as a journalist, has worked on stamping out corruption in a number of countries. We have no shortage of individuals. And in fact, if this job is advertised internationally, there are several people in Ireland that could apply for the job in most other countries. So I would not be worried about finding somebody suitable to fill the role.
And tell me, will corruption and the stamping out of corruption, will that be an issue in your election campaign or at the doorstep when you're going around in East Cork?
I would say it will be to an extent. And actually, I'm already out canvassing and I've already got a bit of that, especially this week because of the episode, the programme on primetime. But I would say at the end of the day, politics in Ireland tends to be very local. So In what they'll probably be most interested in, for example, now one of the four sitting TDs in Cork East is one of those that got named for not including his directorships.
Oh, you mean you're likely to be up against somebody?
I'm up against one of the people I'll be running against, a Fine Gael TD by the name of Tom Barry, was one of those named who did not complete, put down a number of companies that he's a director of and in his submission.
And he's still allowed, I mean, so you fill out this form, right? You declare that you have assets in four things. It turns out you've got assets in six things and you can still go up for election.
Well, Tom Barry has done, not alone is he up for election, I'm fairly sure there'll be no disciplinary action taken against him. He's corrected the record. He's included these companies now. And he's implying that this shouldn't have even been a news item, that was only an honest mistake by him omitting him at the time. No, I have to take him at his word, but at the same time, it asks questions about a person's ability as a public representative. If a very simple form, like, for example, I'd be depressed filling out this form because I have nothing to declare, really. Barely have a roof over my head. But like, you don't, there are people saying they forgot. Like, one guy said he forgot he owned a supermarket. How do you forget you own a supermarket?
Ah, look, Ken, come on now, be reasonable.
That is a direct quote.
Surely some supermarkets could easily be forgotten. My goodness, are you serious?
Well, actually, what's funny about this Tom Barry guy in my constituency, he owns 10 houses outside of his own, but he remembered to include them. Whereas if he'd have forgot one or two of the houses, you wouldn't fault him. But to remember to forget a couple of companies he owned as well was...
And somebody, but you've really caught my fancy there, somebody forgot to enter a supermarket that they own.
Well, one of the three that was caught in the sting forgot a farm he owned, forgot a business he owned, and forgot the pub he owned and operates. But they were all, in his own words, he had forgotten about them when he was filling out the form.
Right. Oh, look, this doesn't sound like Ireland. It does sound to me as if Ireland is a place where quite a lot of change is needed. Now, let us go on to another area where a lot of people are saying in Ireland this week, a lot of change is needed. Flooding. I mean, the background for anybody listening to this is that large areas of the country have been flooded. There's water all over the place, due to very heavy rain and possibly due to works not having been carried out. Because in Cork here in Ireland in 2009, which is only, 6 years ago, there was fierce flooding. Have you as a public representative, if you were elected, would you have any authority or influence over flooding?
Well, just to link the two stories to what we were talking about first, what we're talking about now, one of the big questions that needs to be asked, and it's a bit late to be asking the question, but it doesn't take a genius to join the dots. There were huge errors made in the planning process in this country, where planning was given to build large estates in places that were clearly in floodplains and known floodplains and areas that we knew were prone to flooding. So what we were talking about in terms of corruption at local authority level and things, I would say, unfortunately, led to an extent to some of the damage that's happening. Now, bringing it right up to date, though, there's a government authority here called the Office of Public Works. Because of all the flooding and things elsewhere, they've conducted a national survey of the entire country, and they've identified, in effect, the 300 most likely the locations most prone to flooding within the next 100 years. So this is bringing in climate change and rise of the waters and everything else. So even places that have never seen flood water, they've done the tests if the water rises by 5%, if water level rises by 10%, and done the calculations. And what they're doing at the moment...
Just before you go on, can you think of one or two examples of those places?
A very specific example, because I was at a meeting about it about a week ago, is Rathcarmac. Rathcarmac has... I think had been experienced flooding once. Right.
This is just outside Cork.
Just outside Cork, small little town.
Yeah.
That grew a lot again, and we're talking about these Celtic Tiger years. But in Rathcarmac, they've gone down the road, they've done various tests of water, and now they've come up with three possible proposals of how to deal with not just the current flooding issue, but future-proofing it as well. And there's the likes of Rathcarmac around the country. And the next stage then, any place like that goes into the county development plans, that the Office of Public Works now have the money over the next 10 years to actually get that work done. So I do believe, regardless of who's in government, that work will be done and should be done on the greatest need. Like, for example, Bandon is an obvious place with a huge need locally.
You're now standing for the Social Democrats. A very quick point about this. I kind of would think you'd be doing everything you could to beat the government and saying nothing is being done. Now what you're saying is something has been done.
It's probably one of my biggest failings as in terms of actually maximising my vote, this will probably come against me, but in terms of my reputation, I think it makes sense. I try to answer every question honestly, and if the government are at fault, I'll be the first one to say it, but where they're not, I'm happy to lay the blame where it should be left, and I try and keep things honest in that regard.
Okay, well, look, we'll have to stop there, Ken. How could anyone who wanted to contact you get in touch with you?
Simplest way to get me always is on Twitter, at Ken Curtin, or drop me an email, ken.curtin@socialdemocrats.ie.
And one last question. When do you think the election will be?
It'll be the last week of February or first week in March.
All right. Ken Curtin, candidate for the Social Democrats. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.